walkways or sidewalks. You know, back in the the old days when they were in the backwoods and there was a lot of land, and you know, you had paths. And we talked about paths, but we're going to just use the word walk. And when we talk about this path, you will show me the way of life. You know, Proverbs 14 and 12 tells us there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So when we say that he will show me the path of life or the way of life, what we're saying is God is going to show us how to live in this life, how to walk in this life. Everybody has a path that they are going down called the life path. You have a path and I have a path. Your path is different than mine. Your path is longer or shorter than mine. My path may take me to year number 90. Yours may take you to year number 60 or vice versa. But we all have a path. But at the end of that path, there is a door, and you're going to go through that door into eternity. And in that door, you will either go into eternity with God or you'll go into eternity without God. And that is not the way you want to go. But he said he will show me the path. He will show me the way. There is a way that seems right. In other words, when you don't know the Lord, you are on a way. You're on a path of life. You may not realize it, but you're going the wrong way. You know, I know that if you know the Lord today, there was a time when you didn't know the Lord. There was a time when you were walking your own way. You were doing the best you knew how with what you had. But then you come to the conclusion, and hopefully before it's too late, that the path I'm walking down, the ways I've been going are not beneficial. They're not helping me. They're not getting me anywhere. We're living in a time where we have a virus that is out there. It is rampant worldwide. We don't have answers. We don't have cures yet. We have a possible vaccine, and they say it works 95% effective. But it's not being used yet. So we still see numbers rising, which tells us that there are still things in this world that we don't have answers to. Not just this virus. Even if you didn't have this virus, many of us were walking around lost. He said he will show me the path. He will show me the way to life. The life that he's showing us the way to is eternal life, not just life in this world. He says, I will show you the path of life. Now, John 14, 6, Jesus tells us something. We read in the proverb where it says that there is a way that seems right. But you realize that way, well, you were really lost. You thought you knew the way. You thought you could do it your way, like that Sinatra song's, I Did It My Way. Most of us would know about that song because we tried to do it our way. But Jesus comes along and says, I am the way. He didn't say, I know the way. He didn't say, I'm going to show you the way. He said, I am the way. And he also says, I'm the truth and I am the life. So there is a way, and there's many ways. You know, somebody said all roads lead to God. That's absolutely true. All roads lead to God, but all roads do not lead you to heaven. All roads lead to God, but all roads do not lead you to heaven. Jesus says, I am the way. You want to get to heaven? You need to go this way. There is a way that seems right, but there is another way that is right. Jesus said, I am the way. And he said, I'm the truth. And he said, I'm the love. I'm the life. But I want to just talk to you a minute about that way. That way can be a way of truth. If you follow God's way, it's going to be a way of truth. It's going to be a way that leads to eternal life. But then along that way is also a way of suffering. Jesus said, if you're going to follow, if you're going to be my disciples, he said to do some things. The first thing he said was deny yourself. Then he said, take up your cross. It's a way of suffering. This way is It's easy, but it's hard. If you understand what I'm saying, it's easy when you let go and let him do it. It's hard, though, because this is the flesh we live in. We live in the flesh. We live in a world that hates us. And we have a devil that's after us. We have to surrender ourselves and let God do it. There is a way that seems right, but there is a way that Jesus said, I am the way. But this way is a way of suffering. You have to deny yourself. That means die. You have to die to self. This way that he tells us he will provide for us is also a way of forgiveness. Brother Chucky this morning reminded us of that verse in 1 John where it says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Psalm 86 and 5 says, you, Lord, are forgiving and good. John 3:16 tells us what? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then 17 says, for God came not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be what? Saved. So this way is a way of suffering, but it's also a way of forgiveness and a way of salvation. John 3:16 says we would get what? Eternal life. It's a way of eternal life and a way of salvation. You shall be saved. And as I'm going to be really quick about this. I'm almost done. But when we look in some verses, it gives us an inclination about what it means to be in the presence of the Lord. Where do you have to be? What do you have to do to be in God's presence? John 18:37, Jesus talks about being the bearing witness of the truth. In his presence, you will find truth. All right, so in his presence, I find that I am content. In prayer, when we talk about being in his presence, most of the time we're talking about prayer. We're talking about meditation on his word. We're talking about being in his word and thinking about what his word says to us. Colossians 2 and 10 says what? We are complete in him. In his presence, I find fulfillment. I find completeness in his presence. I find in Psalm 27, 4 and 5 tells us, he says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. I like the word dwell, because the word dwell means this is where you live. That means the psalmist says, I want to live in this place where I am close to the Lord. One thing have I desired of the Lord that I may seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. 4 verse 5, 27, 5 says, for he will conceal me there when troubles come. He will hide me in his sanctuary. He will place me out of reach on a high rock. So this psalmist in this verse is telling us that in his presence is fullness of joy, at his right hand pleasures forevermore. And in this verse we just read, it says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Because in the house of the Lord I find protection. I find safety. So think of it like this. Because we're not always talking about church, but just think about church for one second here. When people come into the church, they should find safety here. They should find protection here. They should find a place where they can go and get away from those things that are after them in this world. So when they come in here and they don't look like we think they ought to look, They don't talk like we think they ought to talk. Their dresses are too short, or their dresses are too low, or they got tattoos or earrings. We don't kick them out. We don't look at them and give them the stink eye, because this is the place they need to be. The Bible tells us that Jesus said what? It's not them that are well that need a physician, but those that are sick. And if this is the hospital of the Lord, and this is where you came to get saved, then this is where they need to be. So we don't put them out. In his presence is safety. Amen. But you don't have to go to church to be in his presence. Jesus told the religious leaders, or told his disciples, I should say, about the religious leaders. He says, you see them over there, they stand on the corners and they say these long prayers, loud prayers, so that everybody can see them and think about how holy they are. But Jesus said to them, he says, you don't do that. He says, you go home and you find a closet. You find a quiet place and you go there. And your Father, who sees you in secret, will reward you openly. So you can be in his presence in church. You can be in his presence at home. You can be in his presence wherever you go. Psalm 91 verse 1 said what? He that dwells, again, living. This is a place you live. It's home. In his presence should be home for you. It should be a place where you feel at home. When you came in this morning into this church building, Jesus was already here by his spirit. He was already here. You know, I thought about it and I say, you know what? When it comes to those places when we are in his presence, when we go to meet with the Lord, do you know what? Who's the first one there? He's the first one here. And when it's time for you to leave, he's the last one to leave. And when you come back, he's already there waiting for you, because he loves our fellowship. He loves communion with us. Why? We're going to talk about that in a minute. But you can be in his presence wherever you go. You can take a walk and be in his presence. How many like to walk? Some people like to walk. They take mile walks, or they walk down trails. But I want to tell you about a young man in the book of Genesis who walked with God. And he walked with God in a time when nobody else was walking with God. This is in Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. And if you read Genesis chapter 5, what you'll notice is that it has a genealogy. It has names of people that were born. It says this person was born. It said he lived a certain amount of years. It said he had a certain amount of children. And he gave the name of the children. And then it said he died. And it goes on like that forever. It seems like it's never ending. It's like reading a whole bunch of obituaries. But then one person stands out. His name is Enoch. It says Enoch was born. And it said when Enoch turned to be 65 years old, he bore Methuselah. If you ever heard of a man named Methuselah? Methuselah was the oldest man that ever lived. He lived to be 969 years. People don't live like that anymore. No, not like that. But he lived to be. But his name means when he dies, the end will come. That's what Methuselah means. And the reason God gave him Methuselah, and Methuselah will be the longest man that ever lived, because at the end of his death, when he died, the end of the world would come, which would be the flood. So God was showing us, and as he showed them, how long suffering his mercy is. Because at the end of that time, people, because at the last end of his life, the last 120 years, guess what? Noah was building the ark. The last 120 years. And so I'm talking about, though, Enoch. It says that Enoch, when he was 65 years old, bore Methuselah. And so at that point, it says that Enoch walked with God for 300 years. He walked with God for three. So can you imagine, you like being in God's presence every day, don't you? Well, can you imagine doing that every day for 300 years? But then it says that he walked with God 300 years, and he was not, for God took him. I imagine if we lived that long, God would take us too. 300 years is a long time. But we can be in God's presence on walks, when we walk. Walking with God is a very good thing to do. Moses recognized the presence of God in the 33rd chapter of Exodus. When he was at the temple of meeting, at the tent of meeting, it's called the tent. It was a tent of meeting. He had made a tent outside of the camp, and this is where he met with God. And so it said that he was there and he was talking with God, and he said, Lord, let me see your glory. And God said, well, let me think about it. No, you can't see my. He said, now look, no man has seen my face and live, but I tell you what I'll do. Because it's you, let me read this. He says in 33:21-22, says, the Lord continued, there is a place near me where you are to stand upon a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock. In his presence is protection, even from God himself, because you can't get too close to God without some effect. You remember that Moses was also the one, he came off the mountain and he had a glow on his face because he had been in God's presence and had gotten very close to the point where he had to wear a mask over his face. That's how close he had got. Don't you want to get close to God? In his presence. He said, I'll hide you in the cleft of the rock and I'll cover you there with my hand. So God will protect us in his presence. Psalm 17, verse 8, it tells us, he says, he will keep me as the apple of his eye, and he will hide me in the shadow of his wings. In his presence, look, the apple of his eye, you have an apple. The apple of his eye was the pupil. That's what the apple of the eye is called, the pupil. But he says he will keep me as the pupil, as the apple of his eye. He means I'm going to keep you close to me, protected by me. But it also indicates that he could see him. God sees you. He sees you. He saw you when you weren't even in your parents, when your mother's womb, he saw you. He said, I saw you. But he said, before I formed you in the womb, he said, I called you. Do you know how important that is when you find out that you are saved and that God called you way back there? That means that you have a God that loves you something terrible. He loves you so much that he wants you near him in his presence. So that verse tells us that he is there as the apple of his eye to protect us. And that we are the object of his affection. I always say that, you know, when God made us, it's because God is love. Love has to have an object to love. Because before it's real, we were the object. I'm the object. God loves you. You are the apple of his eye. He said, more than the sand on the seashore are my thoughts toward you. Toward you. You need to think about that. You need to think about that. When you look in the mirror this morning, you need to think about that. The Lord is thinking about me a lot. More than the sand on the seashore. I'm almost done. And then Moses in chapter 3, this was way before the cleft of the rock, he had experienced God because God had told Moses when he saw the burning bush, he says, don't come any closer. He says, take the shoes off your feet because the ground on which you stand is holy. Every time you're in God's presence, you're on holy ground. Wherever you go, if the Spirit of the Lord is in you, where you go, the holiness of God goes. Wherever you go, whatever the environment is where you go,
you get to change that environment because the Spirit of the Lord is in you. Where the King, Jesus would say what? The kingdom of God is at hand. Why? Because the King was there. And guess what? When he's in you, wherever you go, the kingdom of God is at hand. And the King is in the place. And I'm almost done. I'm just thankful. You know, this is Thanksgiving Sunday. And, you know, when we think about the being in the presence of the Lord, I'm thankful. I'm thankful. I'm thankful not just during Thanksgiving holiday. I'm thankful. I'm thankful in January. I'm thankful in February. I'm thankful all through the months and the weeks. Every day I'm thankful. We have so much to be thankful for. But look, when we think about being in his presence, we're talking about the Creator being in his presence. And what Psalm 8 verse 4 and 5 says, what? Who is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit with him? For you made him a little lower than angels. God gave us relationship with him, to be close to him. And you wonder why? Why me? Have you ever thought about that? Why me? I think about that, and I think about what if it hadn't been me? What if he hadn't chosen me? What if I wasn't saved? What if I didn't know the Lord? Oh, my God. Do you know what people are? There is a way that seems right. That's where I was. That's where most people are. They're out there, and they don't know which way to go. They're lost. But Jesus said, I am the way. You don't have to keep looking for ways. I'm the way. That verse says what? You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand. The right hand was the favored side. That was the side where he said, these are the ones that are with me. You know, in the Jesus talked about how there would be a time when there would be the goats on the one hand and the sheep on the one hand. The goats are not with him. But he says we are at his right hand. And that right hand, there are pleasures evermore. Do you know what that means? Pleasures forever? Forever. And you don't have to die and go to heaven for this forever to begin. It begins right here. So we're just thankful. We're thankful to be in his presence. Amen. Thankful to know that we have a relationship with the holy and holy God who is the creator of heaven and earth. What manner, John 3:1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath given unto us that we should be called the sons of God. And I just wanted to, Sister Amanda, did you find it? There's a song that really, do I have time? Okay. That really brings this out. It's called, I Just Want to Be Where You Are. Don't you just want to be with the Lord? He's been so good to us. How great is our God? We sung that today. How great is his name? How big is his love? How awesome is his forgiveness? He looked beyond my faults and saw my needs. He did not reward me according to my sin. That's a wonderful thing to know, that this God, who is as big as he is, loves just as big as he is. I just want to be where you are, Lord. And there's a song now I'm trying to wonder if I should sing. It says, I just want to be where you are. I just want to be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence. I don't want to worship from afar. Draw me near to where you are. I just want to be where you are. In your dwelling place forever. I just want to be with you. I want to be where you are, dwelling in your presence, feasting at your table, and surrounded by your glory. In your presence, that's where I've always want to be. I just want to be, I just want to be with you. That's enough of that. I just want to be where you are, Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank God for wanting to be near me. I don't know about how you feel about it, but wanting to be near me, I'm thankful that he wants to be near me. Me? Me? You don't know me, okay? I know I'm better than I used to be, but you don't know me. He loved me back then. I'm thankful that he wants to be where I am, and I want to be where he is. Amen. God bless you. Have a great Thanksgiving. Hopefully you get enough turkey. Don't eat too much. Stay away from crowds. I'm sorry to say it, but I don't care what they're telling you. You know, we're going to do it anyway, and, you know, I don't believe it. Trust me, I had the virus. You do not want this. This is not the flu. This thing is going to go on probably till the end of next year, not just the beginning, middle of next year. This thing is going to keep going. We need to be wise. God is a healer, but look, you do not want to get this. Be wise. Have a great Thanksgiving. Be wise. Stay away from crowds. Stay home and cook at home. Amen. I love you. That's why I'm telling you this. God bless you.
Amen, amen, amen. You know, Elder Jones, powerful message. In his presence, there is fullness of joy, and at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Thank God for being in his presence. I was talking to a friend of mine via text, and I was telling her, I said, sometimes, you know, we get in this place where we're over just dealing with so much issues, and we feel overwhelmed. But it's only when we can get in his presence. David said that my foot almost slipped when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, but when I went into the house of the Lord, oh God, thank you. When we come into the house of the Lord, Mama Sonia, when we get into, even with Zoom and all the stuff that's happening and the COVID virus, but we can make an altar right in our homes. So for those that are in the sanctuary with us, and if you're at home, just we would like for you to stand or bow your head. But those in the sanctuary, we're going to pray, and we're going to extend the invitation to receive Christ. I think sometimes we forget that everybody ain't saved. There are still individuals who have not made Jesus their choice. The pastor, our assistant pastor, has preached a dynamic message. He shared from his heart what God had laid on him to share with us. And if you're on Zoom and you want to rededicate your life, you can put it in the chat and we'll get with you and pray with you. Or there's a prayer request. We're here to pray with you and for you. But for those that have never received Christ, it's very simple. I'm just going to ask you a couple of questions. If you believe that God sent his son Jesus to die on an old rugged cross, stayed in the grave, a borrowed tomb, for 3 days, but rose with all power in his hands, then you're saved. You believe, if you confess with your mouth and you believe that in your heart, you've accepted salvation. So maybe you've done that before. You say, well, Sister Camille, I haven't been living right. I haven't been walking right. I've been dealing with some situations, some isms and schisms of my life. Well, God said, I'm near to the brokenhearted. He says that he'll bind us up, or bind up our wounds. He'll minister to us. The pastor already said that he'll hide us in the secret place of his tabernacle. He will hide us. So at this point, all you have to say is, Lord, I surrender all. Is your all on the altar of salvation? Is your all on the altar for Christ? Are we giving him our all? And those of you that might have, you're walking with the Lord, but you need some strength. The Lord is our strength. So if you fall into any of these three categories, we're just going to pray. Right now, we're going to ask God to come into wherever you might be for him to heal, set free, and deliver. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we lift our hands and we say, God, we honor you. We thank you, Heavenly Father, our good, good Father, that you see us, Jehovah Elroy, and you know all about us. And even when we're not representing you well, you still love us. You have not let your mercy and grace fall slack towards us. You haven't consumed us. So therefore, it's our right and reason just to lift our hands and tell you thank you. So God, we ask you to come into our hearts. We rededicate our lives to you on this day. Father, in the name of Jesus, we don't want to leave, even in this virtual space, the same way when we logged in. We want the word of God that was shared through your manservant to penetrate our hearts, that will cause us to want to read our Bible daily to get in your presence, that will cause us to want to get on our knees and pray and seek your face in your presence. God, this is the time that we need to be in your presence. Nothing else matters but you. So God, we ask you to touch those that are unsaved, those that are saved but having some challenges, oh God, those that need healing, those that are bereaved hearts, those that are hung down heads. God, you said you're the lifter of our heads. So God, we just ask you to come in. So God, we ask you to have your way. God, we know that one plants, one water, but it's you who give the increase. So God, won't you rain down on today? Let those seeds that have been sown fall on good ground on today, that they might sprout up and grab a hold to your unchanging hand. So God, we thank you. We thank you for this time of fellowship. We thank you for everyone that signed in on today. We thank you for the ladies of Phi Theta Zeta chapter of sorority, of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. God, we thank you for the friends and family on Facebook and local around. God, we thank you from near and far that everyone under the sound of our voice on today is yet in the land of the living. But God, help us to be prepared to see you again, oh God. Help us to be prepared to know what it's like to leave out at this place and see you eternally in peace. So God, we ask you to touch this next portion of service as we get ready to disseminate all of the turkeys, the 96 boxes of Thanksgiving meals for some that don't have anything. God, thank you, Jehovah Jireh, for providing. Oh God, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So God, we ask you to touch our sick and afflicted, oh God. We ask you to touch Sapati even now, oh God. Carolina and Randy, oh God. Teresa, oh God. We ask you to have thine own way. So God, as we pray for those that have given their tithes and offering to the house of the Lord, that it be used for your kingdom building and for your glory. So God, we thank you that when we log off from this place, but we're never from your presence, oh God. God, thank you that you keep us in your presence. Help husbands and wives to get in your presence, oh God. Oh God, when we're in your presence, you bring unity, oh God. You command blessings when there's unity, oh God. So God, we need you. We need you. We need you. So God, won't you have your way on this day and forevermore? We thank you for an amazing service. Thank you for the minstrels. Thank you for every word spoken. And God, we ask you to have thine own way on this day and forevermore. Go in peace and be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, we're so thankful for the privilege of being able to be of help. We thank you, Lord, as you have blessed us. You've blessed us to be able to give. We've blessed us to be able to help, to disseminate, to give out turkeys today so that many will have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Lord, and help them to see it's not just about the food. Your word tells us it's not by bread alone, but it's by every word of God. God, as these people receive this blessing of food, Lord, bless them also with a blessing of your spirit, of your presence, And we thank you. Bless each box. Bless each person's heart that receives. Bless all those that are helping to give. And we thank you, Lord, again, in Jesus' name. Amen.